Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout podcast. Glad to have you here with us, joining us for episode 101 of the pod. We are officially moving into the second 100 episodes we passed episode 100 recently, a fun live stream we got to do, and looking forward to doing more of those. Want to quickly remind you that if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout podcast, check us out on YouTube for the video version of the pod. Thank you to the 460 of you who are subscribed over there. You can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them here on the pod. Additionally, the podcast is findable wherever you get your pods, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms, or any platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, leave a five-star review on the Hoth Hangout podcast. We'd appreciate it very much, and it also allows it to be more easily discovered by other people that love Star Wars as well. You can find us on the socials on TikTok, Instagram, and X. We are at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms. Additionally, the link to the Hoth Hangout community Discord server will be available down in the show notes of today's episode. Check it out. Today's topic we are discussing is the age-old debate. Who shot first? And not simply who shot first, but what is the history of this argument? How did it come to be? Of course, the classic scene involving Han Solo and Greedo in the Mos Eisley Cantina going to be our topic of discussion today. We'll take you through some of the history of it, all the iterations of the scene. And we would like to begin our discussion today by simply posing the question to all of you listening. Did Han shoot first? Let us know in the comments or on the socials, the Hoth Hangout socials, your answer to this question. I can probably guess what the predominant answer will be, but leave us a comment down below on the podcast episode anyways. And as we get into the topic today, Joey, what's going on? How you doing? You're doing dual functioning roles in today's episode, yeah. Not just podcasting, but also producing.
Our friend Gibbo, all-time best producer Gibbo, is on vacation, so he lent me the reins. I'm kind of doing everything from behind the scenes here, so if I see him a little frazzled, that's not true. You don't. This is not the frazzling, but no, doing pretty good. I got the two flu and COVID shots yesterday, so good thing we didn't record yesterday because I was down. I was down and out. So I'm glad I'm feeling a lot better today to record. But this is one of those questions that, you know, every Star Wars fan at some point has to answer. And I think it's just time. It's time for us to talk a little bit more about it.
Definitely. It's funny. I don't know if we even mentioned it in the first 100 episodes of the podcast, surprisingly. So what better way to fittingly start off the second 100 episodes with a discussion about it? By the way, before we get into some of our news today, as we typically do, nice shirt, by the way. Is that a 20th anniversary Phantom Menace shirt?
20th anniversary Phantom Menace shirt. I got this at Star Wars Celebration in 2019. So that's where we... So they had a panel there. They didn't have all the people that you'd want to be at the panel, like Padme or like Natalie Portman and Hayden. It was just... It wasn't all that. But they did. It was the 20th anniversary, so I had to snag the swag when they came out.
Nice, I like that. Is that Watto on the back?
Yeah, because why not?
I like that. I gotta check out, see if I can find one of those, pick it up on eBay or something. That's a pretty cool shirt. But yeah, today's discussion, Han shot first, gonna be the in-depth history of that debate, the age-old debate. But before we get into some of our discussions about that, we have a couple pieces of news this week, actually three in total. The first of which is a Hollywood Reporter article, which came out, I think, just a little over a week ago, if I'm not mistaken, at the time of release. This article, let me tell you, it is an in-depth, lengthy article, basically detailing, again, in extreme detail. The article is, I don't know, like at least a 10 to 12 minute read, I would say. Is Disney bad at Star Wars? An analysis is the title of the article, and it basically breaks down everything from The Force Awakens all the way up to the recent release of The Acolyte, kind of detailing how Disney has handled basically the production of Star Wars films and TV shows since its acquisition of Star Wars in 2012 from George Lucas. And so it doesn't really, like, I guess, say anything profound in that people haven't probably already said, but it is just kind of like a neat all-in-one analysis, synopsis of the timeline of the last 12 years of Disney Star Wars, kind of the, you know, the hype associated with it, some of the low points, as in like the decline of the box office sales of the sequel trilogy, decline. I mean, I think people look at episode 9, I'm in this camp of people probably, and they're like, oh, that movie just wasn't good. It still made $1 billion, which is kind of like, right, yeah. And it's like, oh, it wasn't a good movie. It still made $1 billion because it's Star Wars. But kind of looking at the trajectory of, like, The Force Awakens made $2 billion, Last Jedi made $1.3 billion, Rise of Skywalker made $1 billion. So like that trend kind of in the wrong direction, even if they're still making like a ridiculous amount of money the whole time. Kind of just the ebb and flow of certain shows and just the overall vibe of kind of the creation and the process of Disney Star Wars. The other interesting thing from this article, this is just not a general point, a specific point that I read in it. Did you know Solo? I mean, I know people consider it to be a little bit of a failure. Did you know it only made, I'm saying only, this is still a lot of money, $363 million at the box office compared to every other Disney Star Wars movie, which made at least $1 billion. And I was thinking about that. I was like, why is there such a drop off from, like, Rogue One also made $1 billion. But there's over a 50% decrease, like probably like a 60 to 65% decrease in the amount of money that Solo made. I just thought that was fascinating just because going into it, I was like, oh, this is like a Han Solo origin story film. I would have thought people would be really excited to see something like that, you know?
Yeah, I think I don't know if at that time, I'm trying to remember what year, because that came after Rogue One, right?
Yeah.
So that come between...
It was between 8 and 9, yeah.
8 and 9, yeah. So between 8 and 9, I think what happened with Last Jedi, I don't think people like what they saw with Last Jedi, just generally speaking. I, that's not a surprise. And maybe Solo got the short end of that stick because of that. And although maybe we think Han Solo type of origin story is something that people want, maybe people just didn't really vibe with it. They weren't really interested in something like that, because you think of Star Wars, you think of lightsabers, you think, you know, and I think that was probably, well, I guess Rogue One was also, you know, really, but I mean, it was the Darth Vader scene at the end, so there was some lightsabers. But I think maybe Solo just was that one-off that people weren't really interested in learning that from a live-action standpoint, you know, and I think that may be one of the reasons why. But yeah, I read that in the article too, and I thought that was interesting. One thing I did like how the article ended, for spoiler alert, I'm going to spoil it right at the end here. You know, they asked the question, you know, is Disney bad at Star Wars? And essentially they say no. They say no, they're not bad at Star Wars. But then they go on to say, could it be better? Yes, they could be better at Star Wars. So I think that's an important takeaway from the article. Very clickbaity, obviously, but, you know, that's how you get the views. That's how you get the clicks. But yeah, I think it was a pretty good article. It laid down the facts. It wasn't really, you know, I don't think it was really, you know, written like leaning one way or another. We're just here are the numbers. Here's what the expectations were. And something like, you know, with The Acolyte, for instance, they mentioned how much it was to make. It was only a little bit less than Dune 2. Was that what it was?
Yeah. Yeah, 10 million less than Dune Part 2, which was like an incredible cinematic masterpiece.
Mm-hmm. But it was also one movie as opposed to how many episodes. So.
Right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's... I think it kind of leaves off on a high note, too, at the end, kind of talking a little bit about Skeleton Crew, because we're only... Let's see. Gosh, we're only... I want to say we're only 7 weeks away from Skeleton Crew at this point.
That sounds right.
Kind of leaving it, you know, on a high note that we have that to look forward to, but also kind of mixing in at the same time the fact that there's, I think it's been 6 live action shows at this point.
Yeah.
And only The Mandalorian amongst all of them has been considered like a major success that's delivered like a multi-season thing, which is seen as like the standard for success in television. So, well, and even then, like the recent season of The Mandalorian was the least successful, so much so that they decided to pivot into making the
right
the Mando and Grogu movie kind of be the final installment of that story. So anyways, yeah, like a really good article overall. And it, like you said, a little bit clickbaity too. Like, is Disney good at Star Wars? Is Disney bad at Star Wars?
We might be familiar with some clickbaits like that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the first, yeah. Won't be the last.
Yeah. Honestly, like of any article we've covered recently, I would say this one is a really fun one worth reading. So we'll try to remember to pin that one down in the notes of the episode if you're interested in checking it out. But our second piece of news is about Kenobi Season 2. Speaking of clickbaity, this, I mean, it is something that happened. Like, Ewan McGregor was asked, I believe it was at Comic-Con recently, about, you know, Kenobi Season 2, and he gave the answer that Lucasfilm is exploring ideas, quote, about Season 2, which obviously they probably are. I mean, you know, I think people were so excited for Kenobi that the Kenobi we got, they felt like, A, it was a little short, and B, a little let down by the story, even though the performances of the actors, mm-hmm, I thought were pretty good across the board. I thought the story could have been a little bit stronger. Nonetheless, people obviously love Ewan McGregor, and I think people would be in favor, you know, almost all people, I would say, would be in favor of a second season of this show if it means getting to have more Ewan McGregor in Star Wars. So obviously nothing confirmed here, kind of Ewan just, you know, throwing us a line and seeing if we'll bite on the bait.
But
yeah. Yeah. But nonetheless, I think Lucasfilm would be silly not to explore the idea of creating a second season of Obi-Wan Kenobi. And so, yeah, the first season, the article says, basically, like, was by no means perfect, but it became, at the time, the second most popular live-action series. And I think it now stands as the third most popular, with Ahsoka actually taking the spot of second most, which is surprising, again, because it also, the article at the very end mentions Andor, too, because Andor, mm-hmm, kind of going back to our first piece of news, not to backtrack too much, but I think Andor is probably the best or most well-made show.
Right.
But it doesn't receive, like, the Star Wars hype that a lot of these other shows receive. And so, you know, as indicated by its less viewership than Kenobi and Ahsoka and Mando.
Do you think that Ahsoka surpasses Mando at any point?
I think it could. I think it certainly has the potential to. I mean, it has the cast of characters that's set up to do that. I think Mando doesn't really have that, and it never really would have had that. I mean, mm-hmm, Mando at its core is the story of, like, a bounty hunter and his sidekick, Grogu. And now it's kind of like turning into what seems to be a little bit more of Grogu's story, especially in the third season, and probably will be some more of that in the film that comes out in May of, is it 2026, I think, right?
2026 sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, so I think Ahsoka is built because of its cast of characters and its familiarity with previous Star Wars installments. It's more built to be like a lasting, successful show, especially with like a great villain like Thrawn. I think it's in place to do that. I don't know if they're going to fully succeed in doing that. I liked the first season. I know there were people that weren't crazy about it, but
I think it's got the same potential like you do. I mean, if we could, I know we're not talking about Kenobi right now, but if it goes off for a couple seasons, I think it could surpass Mando right now, because especially how Mando season 3 went, and as you said, kind of went on its decline.
Right. Yeah. I hope Ahsoka season 2 doesn't do that, but I'm so excited about the incorporation of all the, you know, the father daughter.
What's he gonna do with Baylan though? Baylan.
I know it's probably hard to kind of rewrite the script based on what the direction they wanted to take, but
right.
Anyways, nonetheless, not to sidetrack too much on Ahsoka and Mando, but Obi-Wan Kenobi season 2 could happen, might not happen. Ewan McGregor says that it is currently an exploration of ideas as to whether it will, so take that and do with it what you will. So last piece of news for today before we start talking about who shot first is Music by John Williams is a new documentary, which will essentially chronicle the entire maestro's history. Not only, I believe this is not only just a Star Wars documentary, right, even though that's primarily what he'll, you know, be remembered for, but there's also so many other things he's done. Harry Potter, Indiana Jones, Jurassic Park. I'm sure I'm leaving out like dozens and dozens. Superman, maybe, perhaps, yeah. You know, he's written one of the Olympic songs that you hear, like, da, 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 da.
Oh, really? That sounds like, yeah.
Yeah, John Williams wrote that. Epic enough for him,
yeah.
Yeah. So this trailer, which I guess we'll try to remember to pin the trailer for it down in the comment and the show notes of today's episode as well. But Music by John Williams will premiere on Disney Plus on November 1st. And there will even be a world premiere of it at somewhere called the American Film Institute Festival on August 23rd. Not sure exactly where that is held, but the folks there will get to see it over a week ahead of the rest of the world. But for the rest of us, we'll get to check it out on the 1st of November. And essentially, it's just a biographical documentary about the life of John Williams and kind of all of his music composition and a journey through all the things that he's been able to be a part of. So I'm really excited to see this. I don't know if I ever told you this, but like, gosh, I want to say it was like 6 or 7 months ago. Mariah and I went to a John Williams concert here in town. Now, he wasn't there, but it was like one of his proteges who was the conductor. Oh, okay. And so it was like the local symphony did it. And it was like all of his greatest works. And it was just 2 hours of John Williams music.
And can't complain about really that. Cool. That sounds awesome.
Did you know, fun fact about John Williams, he is the only person in history to win an Oscar in 5, and actually it might be 6 different decades. I'd have to look it up.
Wow.
It might actually be 7. Hold on a second. How many decades has John Williams won an Oscar? I think it might be 7 now that I say that.
That is insanity. I mean, John Williams, just, you know, an incredible musician. I can't wait to watch this and be like, oh, he wrote that, like, you know, he did that, you know. Yeah. I can't wait to watch this. I don't know how long the movie is supposed to be, but I gotta imagine it's gonna be pretty lengthy if it's all about him.
Oh, here it is. He's been nominated for Oscars in 7 different decades, and he's won Oscars, 5 Oscars. But he has more than 50 nominations, which is crazy. Anyways.
Good on him.
Yeah. So, John Williams documentary, Music by John Williams, will be hitting Disney Plus on November 1st. Really, really excited to check this out. How old is John Williams, by the way? He's got to be like in his mid-90s.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's about right, yeah.
Yeah.
Still working.
Legend. Well, we have no comments to showcase today. We took the week off last week following the episode 100, and so back, I believe this was about 2 weeks ago when we discussed what your favorite Star Wars trilogy was. We asked this both on the YouTube community tab here on the Hoth Hangout channel, as well as over on X on the Hoth Hangout account there. The folks on YouTube are in favor of the prequel trilogy. I always knew I liked you folks on YouTube. No, yeah, prequel trilogy.
That's
came
a good
in
one. I'm interested. I like that we have a little difference there.
Yeah, yeah. Prequel trilogy came in at 56%, original at 38%, sequel at 6%. So it looks like YouTube got the prequel vote. However, X, formerly known as Twitter, got the original trilogy vote over there with 2/3 of the people selecting original trilogy as their favorite. Meanwhile, just 1/3 of the people selecting prequel, and no love for the sequels over on X. But so we got some prequel fans on YouTube. We got some original trilogy fans on X.
Not a single sequel fan on X though. But it's
on mentioned the whole platform. Yeah, we're still hoping to maybe do an episode someday where, like, Joey takes originals and mm-hmm. I take prequels and, you know, someone else takes sequels and we kind of talk about, you know, which trilogy is the best, and the high points and the low points of each of those. But stay tuned for a future episode of the podcast where that will be the content of the episode. So Stay tuned for the YouTube community tab poll and the poll over on X for this next week. Something along the lines of, did Han shoot first? Cast your vote and have your voice be heard and displayed in next week's episode of the podcast. So, all right, it's time to discuss who really shot first. Was it Han? Was it Greedo? Let me start by this, asking you this, Joey. When was the first time you heard like conversation about this debate? Because I'm curious.
I mean, I probably a little later than you would expect. I just remember seeing a shirt saying Han shot first or something like that. And I saw it and I'm like, oh, is there like a debate around this? And this is probably, I mean, this is well after, obviously, the original trilogy aired. I mean, it was probably during prequel trilogy when that was released. So that's probably the first time I really caught wind of this even being a discussion throughout the Star Wars fandom.
Yeah, I would probably say it was around that time for me, too. Maybe like the mid-2000s. And I remember like not understanding the reference. I remember knowing it was about Han Solo and knowing the scene, but not really understanding, because I think the very first version of this scene that I ever saw was actually the second version of the scene, which was made or re-edited in 1997, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. So I remember the first time I ever saw this scene, it was not as it was originally aired in the original 1977 movie. So I guess wanted to begin just with a brief introduction of what the controversy is and why people say Han shot first, typically, and you'll see like the t-shirts, like you mentioned, people wearing it around. So obviously A New Hope comes out in 1977, at the time was originally just titled Star Wars, of course, later retitled once Empire came out, retitled to A New Hope. And so about not quite halfway into the movie, there's an altercation that occurs where Han Solo is confronted by this bounty hunter, this Rodian named Greedo, a green guy, if you're not familiar with what the species is. And while Han is just simply kind of sitting at this table at the Mos Eisley Cantina enjoying a drink. And so Greedo is employed by Jabba the Hutt. He's been sent to sort of collect on Han's debts, which he owes, Jabba. And in the original movie, after this kind of conversation that goes back and forth between Han and Greedo, Han Solo just basically, he says the line, "Yes, I bet you have." And then just like shoots Greedo cold dead, essentially. He's got his weapon under the table, his blaster, and Greedo never even really sees it coming. There's a cloud of smoke. You don't really see what happens right after he shoots him. There's this cloud. The next thing you know, Greedo's like falling face down on the table. And that was how the film was for 20 years. There were no changes to it. That was just what happened, and we'll talk a little bit more later about the implications of like what it means if it happens that way, what it means if it happens the way it was changed later. So to note, in the original script of the film, the script actually is dated in January 15th of 1976, like over a year before the film was ever released. This is a quote for quote from the original script of the first Star Wars film. Han says, "Yes, I'll bet you have." Suddenly, the slimy alien disappears in a blinding flash of light. Han pulls his smoking gun from beneath the table as the other patrons look on in bemused amazement. Han gets up and starts out of the cantina, flipping the bartender some coins as he leaves. Now, I don't know about you, Joey. Reading that, does that strike you as Greedo might have shot as well?
No, not at all. This is Han getting out of the situation by lighting up Greedo.
Right.
No questions.
And so, right. And so it seems pretty clear. It's backed up by the original script. This is why people will tell you Han shot first, because in this version, the original version, backed up by the original script, there was no firing from Greedo. And it seems like a small point. I think I still feel this a little bit, like fans get so worked up over it. I'm like, is it really that big of a deal? But again, we'll talk about some of the implications for why it could be a big deal, depending on your viewpoint. So Like we said, it stays this way for 20 years. 1997 rolls around. And, you know, George Lucas is getting ready to release his prequel trilogy, which has been in the works for over a decade. He's, you know, been really working towards this. Obviously, at this point, the original trilogy has been like branded the original trilogy. It's 4, 5, and 6. And people are like, when are we getting 1, 2, and 3? So we're less than 2 years away from the release of Phantom Menace at this point. George Lucas says, I want to release my special editions of the original trilogy on home VHS, which at the time was still a relatively new technology. And so in 1997, he releases the special editions of the original trilogy films in honor of the 20th anniversary of the original movie. And very controversially, these films were supposed to be reflective of what Lucas calls his true vision for the original films. Now, Lucas would, you know, probably argue that the technological limitations of the 70s and the early 80s didn't allow him to make these the way he really thought he wanted them to be at the time, and other various arguments. But worth note, amongst a lot of other small changes that were made into the special edition, including the insertion of that Jabba the Hutt scene,
yes,
which I know I think we've watched before, and I think there's even a YouTube short that we did on that. So that was one of the additions that was added into the special edition of A New Hope in 97. But the most notable one that people are probably more familiar with and probably more upset about in the scheme of things is that in the updated version, Greedo now fires well before Han. And if you're listening to this podcast episode or you're watching on YouTube, you can actually watch, I think it's like a 60 to 70 second video of all the iterations of this scene back to back to back over the years. And we'll talk a little bit about each of those versions. But so now in this version, the special edition 97 version, Greedo fires like a whole second before Han does. And now Han fires in reaction to Greedo shooting at him. And so this, of course, sparked the original outrage and coining the phrase amongst Star Wars fans, "on shot first," which was in extreme opposition to George Lucas's changes to the original movie. However, Lucas would say that these changes were made because he didn't want people to view Han as a cold-blooded killer. Now, that's important to remember because it'll kind of come back into play when we discuss sort of the arguments for Han shot first as well as the arguments against. So the reason this change was made, according to Lucas, is because he didn't want Han to be seen as this cold-blooded killer. Fast forward 7 more years. VHS is an irrelevant technology at this point. It's all about DVDs now. And so after having a 97 special edition, Lucas decides, widescreen is a thing now? We have to make a 2004 widescreen DVD version for the original trilogy. And so once again, the scene is edited almost kind of like taking Star Wars fans' complaints about the 97 version's edit into account, because in this version, they significantly reduce the time between Greedo's shot and Han's shot. So much so that it almost happens at the same time, with Greedo still shooting right before. And interestingly, between the 97 and the 04 version, they actually digitally edit Han's head when Greedo is shooting to move so that he is, like, quote unquote, dodging the blaster bullet, which looks really silly when you play it in slow motion. And so this change was
2004.
Made,
you know, what do you want?
Yeah, exactly. They were so limited. Up until this point, Joey, how are you feeling about the two different changes that have been made in the history of Han shot first?
I feel like the decreasing the time between the shots makes it more silly for some reason to me. like if you're going to do, you know, he didn't want Han to come off as a cold blood killer, fine, but decreasing the shot, the time between the shots is making it closer to that again, right? Because right, if you, yeah, because he's not, he is just, they're basically shooting at the same exact time. By the way, how bad is Greedo's shot that he's missing from that close? Just saying. Is he, was he a stormtrooper? You know. So to have all of that, you know, and the back and forth, who did it, you know, who shot first, who shot first? I think that I think the 2004 DVD version makes it makes less sense. I mean, if he would have kept it at the 1997 special edition VHS version, I think that would have been fine because, okay, this is my stance. You know, clearly he is reacting at the, you know, quick enough to shoot back. But then if they would have done that the same timing and then also did the Han like dodge, I think that would have been fine, you know. But to decrease the time between the blaster shots, I feel only just goes closer to a cold-blooded killer.
Right. It kind of is like it's trying to appease the fans, but it's also like going against the original reason that you said you were changing it. Like you said, if they're firing basically at the same time, now Han is just a cold-blooded killer again.
So. With a better aim.
With better aim, yeah. So, again, technology progresses. There's a new iteration of how we consume technology. It seems like every, you know, 5, 6, 7 years or so. 2011 rolls around. Blu-ray is all the hype. And Lucasfilm releases the complete Star Wars saga available on Blu-ray. I remember walking through like Target and Walmart and seeing this available like Black Friday sales. It was like only $50. And you're like, I have to own that. And so this comes out in 2011. It was very similar to the 2004 version. However, oddly enough, there are a few frames that are just completely cut out of the scene. If you watch the 04 version and the 2011 version back to back, the 2011 version rather is like half a second shorter than the 2004 version with very little other change. So again, another like small amendment to the edit of the original movie. It's like, okay, it just feels like you're like rubbing it in our face a little bit, like you're rubbing salt in the wound, like look how much we can change this every time. We're gonna right, like see if you guys notice this almost for this one. So, you know, we go through all these iterations. Once it gets to 2011, they still have Han and Greedo essentially firing at the same time with Greedo firing slightly before. Again, very different from the original 77 version. Now, I think there is an argument worth saying that the worst change had already been made by altering that. I personally feel like the biggest, or I don't know how I want to say this kindly, the weirdest version of this scene, I think, is the current version. That if you are watching, you know, today on Disney Plus, you're like, I'm going to watch New Hope today. If you watch it on Disney Plus, this is the version you'll see. By the way, this version was officially made available on November 12th of 2019. And for the current version available on Disney Plus, they reuse a close-up shot of Greedo prior to the two of them firing at one another, and Greedo says the word McClunky. I'm gonna try to like remember to splice in a clip here, maybe, in the so you guys can like hear what it sounds like. McClunky. But this essentially, this word McClunky is translated to "this will be the end of you." Why they chose to add this, I don't really know. I looked it up. There wasn't like a rationale or a reason, only the translation is what I could find. Couldn't find the reasoning for why this decision was made, but this is absent from every other version. You watch the 11 Blu-ray version, the 04 DVD, the 97 VHS special edition, and of course the original. This word is nowhere in this scene in any of those versions. So they throw it in there for this version. And it reportedly, I did a little bit more digging. Reportedly, these changes were made 7 years prior to its availability on Disney Plus. That Lucasfilm made the changes, making it, I guess, seem more like this was what George wanted, not what Disney wanted, sort of thing. And so that is the story to date. And again, if you watch New Hope on Disney Plus today, this is the version you will see. It personally feels like the weirdest and probably worst of the five versions for me. But in total, like I said, there are at least five different versions of this scene, which is such an odd thing that, you know, a lot of these changes that happen over time, you know, a change is made here, a change is made there, and it's left that way throughout the rest of the versions. This one scene, probably in response to fan outcry, has continued to be altered slightly over time. Have you seen the most recent version, Joey?
Oh,
the
of McCarthy course.
Version?
Yeah. I remember when that was available, when that first became available on Disney Plus. I was studying, actually. I was going for my master's degree back that year. So I remember I Star Wars, you can just kind of throw it on in the background. You don't really, you know, you just like good background noise, you know, and you just listening to it. So that scene comes up. I'm working on something. And then I hear him say that, and I'm like, what is, I had to rewind it, and I'm like, McClunky, I even put on the closed captions to see if I was hearing that right, or if that all happened, and sure enough, and then I run to Twitter, and everyone's talking about it, they're like, oh, what is this, and, you know, so I definitely heard it, I remember the first time I heard it, and I was very confused by it, but, you know, to your point, for something that, if they would have just done the 97 version and just stopped, this would no longer be a discussion, right? If he would have said, okay, this is what I really meant. I didn't want Han to turn out that way. I see how he could be looked at that way. That's not what I want. So here's the fix for that. And just left it. We would not be talking about it today. You know, you and I would not be talking about it. It would be a footnote in some encyclopedia of Star Wars. Oh, by the way, George wanted this, so this is what happened. Now this is a whole discussion between Star Wars fans, you know. And it's interesting because they just keep going back to it. Like you said, it was a fan response. They were responding to the fans and what they think they wanted. But only to get it, and the word McClunky, just it kind of fits to how this continues to evolve. Clunky, it just keeps happening. Yeah. And I can't wait for the next version in, I don't know, a year or two, where, you know, they have you know, Max Rebo also there, you know, like next to Han, and, you know, just a ridiculous other edit to just add to it. I just feel like at this point, Lucasfilms or whoever's in charge now of this particular, you know, show, this movie, is just going to continue adding on to it just to add to the meme.
What about Cy Snoodles?
There you go, Cy Snoodles. And also an addition, right? Weren't they an addition as well?
Yep, Cy Snoodles was an addition to the, I think originally the, I don't know if it was probably the 97 version of Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. If you're not familiar with who Cy Snoodles is, it's like the singer in Jabba's Palace who has like the really narrow mouth with the lips at the end of the... anyways, replacing our guy Max Rebo. You got the short end of the stick there. But. So we've given you a little bit of the history of this argument and how it's changed kind of over the five different iterations of the film. So we kind of wanted to summarize this history by putting forth the arguments for basically why Han should shoot first, and then also like explain the arguments for those who say what, you know, it's better that he didn't shoot first. I think the camp who thinks he did shoot first is probably far larger, or at least at the very least far more like prevalent because of the kind of the feedback of fans, and especially in the late 90s of like, this is not the Star Wars that we knew. Like, Han shot right first, because there's
like
a
said,
movement
there's
around
20
it.
20 years had passed.
Right.
With this thought.
Right. And so just because more people would tell you definitely Han shot first, that's not to say there's not like arguments for why you couldn't make the case why it's better that he didn't. So we're going to lay out some of the arguments for both sides. We'll let you listening decide. Joey, do you want me to give the arguments for Hanshot first?
Yeah, you go for it.
Okay. So we've got about three arguments essentially for why Hanshot first is a good thing, and then we'll give you the other three for why it might not be a good thing, perhaps even a bad thing. So first argument for why Hanshot first should be the way it goes is that it is more character consistency when it comes to the character of Han Solo. Some fans argue that the original version better aligns with Han Solo's established personality as a quick-witted, really a cynical smuggler, who honestly would not hesitate to shoot first if he felt threatened. Additionally, Han shooting first kind of better emphasizes his arc from anti-hero to where we see him at the end of the film as a hero. And so what fans will tell you is that if you don't have him basically killing Greedo in cold blood, that it takes away some of the roguelike nature of his character, and he never really is solidified as an anti-hero as he would be if you saw him like killing this other bounty hunter in cold blood. So the fact that that happens allows his character to like establish its role as this guy is not to be trifled with, and he's not really a hero. He's definitely more of an anti-hero. So that'd be the first one, character consistency. The second reason being kind of just the dramatic tension. The more ambiguity of the original scene, I talked a little bit about like how the smoke pops up as soon as he fires and you're like, what just happened? What's going on? It's really unclear who fired first in the original scene. And so it creates a more suspenseful moment. Whereas in the later iterations, this smokescreen is not really as prevalent of a part. So the dramatic tension for Han shooting first is another one. And then lastly, the third reason would be just simply artistic interpretation. Some, actually many, I would say, whether it's any form of art, really, you could make the case. If there is a copy of it where something has been altered or changed, many would look to the original version as being the most deliberate and intentional choice by the director or the creator or the artist to make it that way for a reason. And just based on the fact that it is the original, it has value in that regard as the most, the one that matters most, I guess I should say. And really how that plays into this is that it's really trying to tell you that Han is a morally gray character. You like how I snuck in the morally gray thing there, Joey?
You always do. Always do.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, you're wearing gray right now. Just thought I'd mention.
Yeah. There's a green shade to it, you know.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. My camera probably drowns out a lot of the color of it, but yeah, it's a dull gray. Or, I mean, a dull green.
Oh, you even said. You all heard it.
I'm slipping up my, what's that called? Freudian slip. Freudian slip, like
yes.
That. Yeah.
Right.
So character consistency, dramatic tension, and artistic interpretation would be probably the three biggest reasons why the argument for Han shot first, could win out as an argument, maybe should win out as an argument, depending on your view. But there's also, we have three arguments for why it might be better that he didn't shoot first. You want to take it away on those three arguments?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you want your hero to act like a hero. You know, always the responsible one, always the one making the right decisions, always the one, you know, not attacking first, but just reacting. So, you know, heroic image is a huge thing. By making Greedo fire first, it portrays Han as a character who only shoots in self-defense, which aligns better with an overall heroic archetype. And, you know, like I said, you know, that you don't want your hero. I mean, there's a good portion, I think, that just don't like that moral gray. You know, they just want it to be, you know, black and white. And I know who is on my side. I know who is on their side. So that, you know, that's a big reason towards that. Obviously, the moral responsibility that kind of goes hand in hand with somebody that is you mark as a hero. Critics argue that Han shooting first could be interpreted as condoning unnecessary violence, especially for younger viewers. So, you know, with Star Wars being as, you know, it transcends generations, right? So there's going to be, you know, children who haven't been born yet, will watch A New Hope for the first time and see the version that is on Disney Plus and think, oh, okay, so he was, you know, he was in the right the entire time. Are they really going to think that? You know, is that the first thing? If it was the original 77 version, would they have thought differently, really? Because at the end of it, I know I'm like making the other argument now, but that's the way I'm thinking. You know, will it really, you know, does it really change it? But for this particular argument, that is why, want your hero to be morally responsible for, you know, his actions, their actions. And obviously, you know, we mentioned this before, this is George Lucas's original intent was to not have, you know, Han to be this kind of cold blood killer. He was supposed to be, you know, this, you know, kind of back to the second and first points here is that he's supposed to be just a hero. You know, Lucas actually stated that he always intended for Greedo to shoot first. The later edits were made to better reflect his vision for the character. So we know that, I mean, he had created Star Wars, you know, New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi, knowing that he was going to go make 1, 2, and 3 later. And probably somewhere in his mind, he's like, okay, well, I can always make these edits, you know, when technology allows it, you know, when I'm able to do it. I know I'm not supposed to be doing this, but, you know, I don't know why he couldn't have done it, you know, kind of on that earlier, you know, that earlier version, that first version of the scene. But for whatever reason, that was his reasoning behind it. And, you know, for that to be the director, you know, because you kind of even mentioned, you go back to the first version of a scene or, you know, of art, because that was the original intent. Now, were his decisions and, you know, his thoughts changed with time from 77 to 97? You know, a lot has happened between that time. Maybe he even rethought it, and he's just going to say, you know what, probably not a good look that we did this. We're going to change it, you know, and I'm the director. I can do whatever I want. So that might have very well been what happened here with George and the scene.
Yeah, it's, I think what it comes down to, honestly, when you're thinking about, you know, is it better that Han shot first? Is it maybe better that he doesn't shoot first? I think the biggest thing is outside of the director's, you know, or the creator's rather original vision, because you could make the case, well, he made it this way, so isn't that his original vision? Even if what he wants now doesn't, like what he says was his original vision now is not reflected in the original piece of artwork. I think other than that, the biggest thing that it comes down to is probably like, what do you want Han Solo's archetype to be? Like, is Han Solo someone you just want to be a hero? Is it, if so, then it's probably better that he doesn't shoot first. Is Han Solo someone you want to be an anti-hero? Because if so, it's probably better that he does shoot first. Because then it puts more emphasis into kind of the transformation of his character when he, you know, rescues Luke at the end of the film. And so I think ultimately that's the biggest question. I think more people would probably find themselves in the camp of finding the meaning in the transition of the character from anti-hero to hero. But I would honestly be curious to hear from people out there who might feel like they prefer a Han Solo who doesn't shoot first.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like the perception of those people. Because, I mean, admittedly, I fall in the camp where I like Han being seen as an anti-hero. You know, I like Han shooting first because then it highlights his transition to...
Right.
You know, a more morally less gray character at the end of the film. But yeah, that's something I'd be curious about. And, you know, I don't know if it's quite as black and white of an argument as, you know, who shot first, Han shot first makes it seem. But, you know, each of those arguments worth noting. And kind of just to conclude our discussion about who shot first, relating back to George Lucas. I feel like George always, like, over the years, just inserts some, like, Star Wars quips to be inflammatory. He's like, oh, yeah, Yoda was actually, you know, he actually really liked eating pancakes for, you know, I'm just like random stuff that doesn't matter. But he's like, I feel like this is like kind of one of those George things where he's like, oh, you guys were just always wrong about Han Solo. He's actually this way. Like, mm-hmm. 20 years later, he drops these bombs. So we just have a couple George Lucas quotes from over the years. This first one's actually from 2004 when the special edition. Well, this is actually 7 years after the release of the special edition, as the release of the DVD was coming up. But this quote from George, again, 20 years ago, says, "The special edition, that's the one I wanted out there. The other movie, it's on VHS. If anybody wants it, I'm not going to spend the, we're talking millions of dollars here, the money and the time to refurbish that, because to me, it doesn't really exist anymore." So pause for a second. He's essentially saying the original movie he doesn't even think is real, more or less, is what he's saying. Okay, continue. "It's like, this is the movie I wanted it to be, and I'm sorry you saw a half-completed film and fell in love with it." I mean, he's literally just like taking a sword and like jabbing it into the fans, yeah, who are, you know.
He did say sorry, so that was nice of him.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a very, very heartfelt apology. Yeah. But he also said, I want it to be the way I want it to be. I'm the one who has to take responsibility for it. I'm the one who has to have everybody throw rocks at me all the time. So at least if they're going to throw rocks at me, they're going to throw rocks at me for something I love rather than something I think is not very good, or at least something I think is not finished. The thing about science fiction fans and Star Wars fans is that they're very independent thinking people. They all think outside the box, but they all have very strong ideas about what should happen, and they think it should be their way. Which is fine, except I'm making the movies, so I should have it my way. Sounds like he's trying to also make a bid for being the sixth member of
Backstreet Boys.
The Backstreet Boys, yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a good question I would pose here. If the creator of something's vision for the thing changes over time to the point where present vision is what he says is the true vision, and it's not what the original vision is, which one do you consider to be the true vision? Is it what the creator says it is, or is it what it was originally created to be? What do you think?
And this is what, is this 27 years after the release? Am I doing that math right?
27.
So that's a great question, but the fact of the matter is, as much as he may want it to be his vision, when you release it, you've released it to the world. And they've consumed it, they've talked about it. He even says, you know, people think outside of the box and, you know, they want to, you know, slice and dice it all different ways. The fact of the matter is that, you know, this has been given to the world, you know. And sure, maybe this is the vision that you saw, but the fact that you say, oh, that doesn't exist anymore, it's just not true. It's not true. You know, like, you've had, you know, 27 years worth of people talking about it and loving it. Even if he calls it half complete, which I think is crazy, by the way, that he calls it that.
Half complete,
you know. But like you said, maybe this is him just kind of throwing his weight around just to be like, well, I am George Lucas. I could, you know, he even kind of says like, this is what I want. This is my way, you know? So to hear that quote is actually kind of crazy that he would even put it that way. But at the end of it, does it really matter to, you know, like, I mean, yes, I understand the question here is, you know, which one kind of holds true. The vision of the creator, or, you know, what has been released. But I honestly think that these are two different things now. We're talking about two different things. We're talking about, you know, something that was created that he no longer is acknowledging its existence, but it's there. It's not there. But then the vision that he had originally, which he frankly did not execute on the first time. That's what it is. You know, he just didn't execute on it. People took it for what it was. And that's the great thing about art sometimes, is that, you know, there is room for interpretation. There is a room to like, well, what does this scene mean? You know? So yeah, it's interesting that he put it that way though.
Yeah. And I mean, you gotta give him credit. He sticks to his guns over the years, like 8 years after that, he was asked in 2012, essentially the same question. And he said, well, it's not a religious event. I hate to tell people that, it's a movie, just a movie. controversy over who shot first, Greedo or Han Solo in episode 4. What I did was try to clean up the confusion, but obviously it upset people because they wanted Solo, who seemed to be the one who shot first in the original. Kind of just like sneaks that in there. It's like, George, he was the only one that shot in the original to be a cold-blooded killer, but he actually isn't. It had been done in all close-ups, and it was confusing about who did what to whom. I put a little wider shot in there that made it clear that Greedo was the one who shot first, but everyone wanted to think that Han shot first because they wanted to think he actually just gunned him down. Also, how is adding like a red blaster bolt to the scene included in? I just added a little bit wider shot.
Yeah, yeah.
There's actually so something that I didn't include in our notes that but that I read. The actor who played Greedo was interviewed about this at one point too, and said that in the original script he doesn't ever recall like shooting Han Solo. It's a worth noting, I will say.
Yeah.
But one more George quote from just 4 years ago in 2020. He said, "I never designed Han to be a ruthless killer. All the good guys shoot in self-defense. When I edited the scene in 1977, you couldn't tell who does what." So again, kind of going back to the idea, like, is Han a good guy at the beginning of the movie? George seems to think so. I mean, he wants it to be so now. Is that the best thing for the character?
Right.
I don't know if that's the case. But
I think, you know, one example of someone who is like that is Andor. Remember, mm-hmm. At the first scene you see him in Rogue One, yeah. he is blasting like somebody who told him a secret, whatever. And he was going to go try to assassinate Jin's father. And so even through that movie, you know, that one movie, you knew that, you know, this guy wasn't all good. But by the end of it, you know, it made that character even more like, you know, made it better because you saw that arc, you know. And also, you know, what makes it interesting is the, you know, his show, the Andor show. Mm-hmm. You kind of, you're able to see what he gets up to that point. So I can't wait for season 2, by the way. But so I think that's, you're doing Han a disservice by not letting him grow and kind of be kind of that, you know, that smuggler, that, you know, cold blood clear. I mean, I guess, but I mean, he was still running from somebody. He knew Greedo was after him. So it's not like just a random, you know, it wasn't, you know, so, I mean, Greedo's a bounty hunter. I'm sure he had some, you know, high death count on him too. So, I mean, you know, I just to go back to what George said, that it was originally, you know, there in the original edit, but just not shown very well. I mean, I don't know about that. You know, I'd have to watch it over and over again, but I think that the original one was he was gunning him down, and that was it.
Yeah, I tend to be of the same mind, but we'll pose the question to all of you as well. Did Han shoot first? Let us know in the comments of today's episode or over on the Hoth Hangout socials. My personal response would probably be yes, but I'm curious as to what all of you out there think, especially if you think that he didn't shoot first. Really want to hear from those of you who might hold that view. So that about concludes today's episode of the Hoth Hangout podcast. Join us on next week's episode 102 of the podcast, where we're going to be talking Star Wars collectibles. Joey, I know this is right up your alley. Going to be a fun one. I'm excited to do that next week with you. And once again, we appreciate all of you for listening to tonight, this week's episode. Tune in next week for our discussion on those Star Wars collectibles. Lastly, thank you to those of you who are subscribed here on YouTube to the video version of the Hoth Hangout podcast. Shout out to the 460 of you who are subscribers there as we continue our climb towards 500. Hit that subscribe button if you're not already subscribed on YouTube. You can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them here on the pod. You can also find us on Apple and Spotify or wherever you get your pods. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a 5-star review, leave a 5-star review on the Hoth Hangout podcast. We'd appreciate it very much. And it also allows it to be more easily discovered by other people that love Star Wars as well. We're on the socials on TikTok, Instagram, and X at Hoth Hangout there. Follow us on those platforms, as well as checking out the Hoth Hangout community Discord server, for which the link can be found down in the show notes of today's episode as well. Joey, any last thoughts on who shot first?
Han. All right. Short. As Lando would call him, Han. I mean,
it was Han.
Han.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always a good, you know, we should do more of these that are just, you know, the arguments through Star Wars, the Star Wars universe that people have talked about for, gosh, how many years now? We're still here. We're still here talking about it. You know, so just to be able to talk about this stuff, it's just a fun time. And this is something you and I did like way back. We would just hit record and just go. You know, at least now we have some notes, something to keep us accountable for the time. Speaking of time, oh, just over an hour. Look at us. But Gibbo would have been proud.
We almost made it under that hour mark. Maybe next time, Gibbo, we miss you. We almost got under an hour for you, and we'll hopefully catch you next time. But hey, also shout out to you, Joey, for producing some stuff behind the scenes today for this episode, and as well, thank you to Gibbo for producing a lot of the assets and stuff that we use today too. Thank you, Gibbo, who never shot first. He is the best kind of hero. Aww. I like that. Again, join us next week. We're talking some Star Wars collectibles. We appreciate you so much for listening this week. Shout out to George Lucas, question mark on that one this week. Shout out to Dave Filoni. Shout out to Cy Snoodles and Max Rebo for being members of that band, even though one of them might have been an unnecessary inclusion on the edit years later. We appreciate all of you so much for listening. We'll hopefully catch you next week on the Star Wars Collectibles episode. And until then, thanks so much for listening. We appreciate you, and may the Force be with you.